I want to encourage you during this time of uncertainty that you can rely on the promises of God. The promise I want to share with you this morning is from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and shall direct your steps." And then we need to know, as it says in Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He works all things together for good. We just need to trust in him, bring our concerns to him, and he will direct our steps. The goodness of God has not been canceled. Wake up each morning and know that God loves you, and rejoice that he is with you each and every day. I pray that you'll be blessed by these messages, all that hear them and all that read them. And our message this morning is titled, Commands for Christians, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 28. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Commands for Christians. The Lord Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We have 22 commandments for Christians and for the family of God in this portion of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us how to be dressed. It says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." As children of God, we're to be watching for Christ to return. While we are watching, we're to be dressed with our faith in Jesus Christ and the love of God. Our helmet is our blessed hope of the future. As it says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to be watching and looking for Christ to bring us home to heaven and to forever be with him. The Word of God gives us direction. It gives us direction how to live. And it gives us 22 commands so we can have a happy church family. These commandments are to be done with love. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, without love we are but a clanging cymbal. Verse 11 begins, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing." Our first commandment is to comfort one another. This means we encourage one another in the faith. Our minds are to be set on Christ. There would be no comfort at all if we were watching for the great tribulation. Instead of watching for Christ, as there is only comfort in Christ. Our second commandment is edify one another. Edify means to build each other up in the faith with the word of God. We are to encourage and build each other up in Christ. In verses 12 and 13 it says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." Here we have three commandments that go together. The third command is recognizing those who teach the word of God. Every believer receives a gift when they are saved, and that gift is to be used in the body of Christ. Those who are preaching and teaching the word of God should have the attention of the believers. Our fourth commandment is to esteem those who preach and teach very highly in love for their work's sake. People who are in the word of God have a love for their pastor and teachers, and they reveal it or speak of their love. The fifth commandment is to be at peace among yourselves. You can't have everybody running the church. There must be certain ones in authority. There's an old cooking analogy that too many cooks spoil the broth or soup. Leadership needs to be followed so there can be peace in the church. Now we have the sixth through the ninth commandments in verse 14. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, and uphold the weak. Be patient with all." The sixth commandment, warn those who are unruly, are disruptive, so there can be peace in the church. The unruly ones sometimes want to do their own little thing rather than support the work of God or the work God is doing in the church. The seventh commandment is to comfort those who need encouragement, to stand up for God. They need to know that someone is praying for them. All of us can get discouraged, and all of us need someone to encourage us and comfort us. The eighth commandment is to support the weak in the faith. There are babies in the faith, and they need support as they grow in God's word and in their faith in Jesus Christ. The ninth commandment in verse 14 says, "Be patient to all." Don't lose your temper. We can meet unsaved and ungodly and difficult people who are trying to trip us up or abuse us. But God's word commands to be patient to all, with everybody. We need to be patient to be a good witness for Christ. Verse 15, "So that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for yourselves and for all." Don't return evil for evil. This is the 10th commandment. Don't fight or quarrel with anyone. The 11th commandment is to follow what is good for you and for others. We're to do good to everyone, even to those who do evil to us. The 12th commandment, it says to rejoice always. Rejoice doesn't mean to be happy, but it means to have a joy in the Lord. Paul said in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice." As a child of God, we are to rejoice always in the Lord. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where it says, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness. Against such things there is no law. Everything stems from knowing God loves us and knowing we can love Him and love others. It all begins in knowing that God loves you. The 13th commandment is verse 17. Pray without ceasing. This means we are to have an attitude of prayer. Bring everything to God in prayer. And pray as you are led by the Holy Spirit. Every believer can come before God's throne of grace. God hears you as you talk to Him. As it says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, call unto me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God wants us to pray. Our 14th commandment is verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The 10th commandment does not say to give thanks for everything, but in everything. We are to continually have a spirit of thanksgiving in all circumstances. Although in Ephesians 5:20, it states giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are to give thanks, and we are to be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6. It is God's will for us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We need to rejoice in our Lord and in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The 15th commandment we are given in this text is in verse 19. It says, do not quench the Spirit. One of the figures used for the Holy Spirit is fire. How do you quench a fire? You dampen it. You don't let it burn. And you quench the Holy Spirit when you refuse to do the will of God by not listening to the Holy Spirit. We also do this when we take matters into our own hands. Stepping out of God's will. The Holy Spirit is a person and is grieved when we have sin in our lives. As it says in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom we were sealed for the day of redemption. We praise God for the Holy Spirit's work in us. Our 16th commandment, in verse 20, do not despise prophecies. Do not look down on Bible studies. Study the Word of God. Read it so that you can be equipped to be a witness for Christ. Our 17th commandment from this text goes on and says, test all things. Do not be taken in. We need to examine everything in Scripture as the Bereans did. In Acts 17:10, it says they were more noble-minded than the rest. They searched out the Scriptures daily to see whether things were so or not. We should not be gullible and deceived. The world today is full of deceivers. Our 18th commandment in verse 21, hold fast to that which is good. We need to hold on to the Word of God. It is sound doctrine. We need to know the Word of God and to live by it. Our 19th commandment, verse 23, abstain from every form of evil. This is the answer to the question of past times or things we have concerns with. If there is a question in your mind, whether something is right or wrong, then it is wrong. Now notice verse 23 of our text. A man is a triune being, just like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It does not say completely, it says completely, not perfectly. We won't be perfect until Christ returns for us at the rapture. But we are to be mature in Christ and not to be babies in the Word of God. Blameless here means to be above reproach. Verse 24 goes on and says, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. This means we can depend on God. We can depend on God, no matter what our circumstances are. Our 20th commandment, verse 25. Brethren, pray for us. Pray for those who give out the gospel, who preach the word of God. I appreciate your prayers, as every pastor does. And there's so much needed. The 21st commandment, verse 26. We are to greet other believers warmly with a handshake. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now our 22nd commandment is from verse 27. It says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all holy brethren. God commands that this letter be read to all believers. And I obey this commandment by preaching through this book. There is so much in this book. It was thought that this was Paul's first letter or book that he wrote, and it contains so much meat of the Word of God. We as believers in Jesus Christ and as children of God are to live by these 22 commandments. And we can only do this by the Holy Spirit's help. This letter closes with a benediction in verse 28. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul began the practice of praying God's grace through Christ to all his readers. The Bible closes with the same benediction in Revelation 22. The Holy Spirit is emphasizing the importance of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit is the author of God's Word. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. All the Word of God has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that as we come to you in Jesus' precious and holy name, that you would speak to our hearts, our souls, and our minds, that we could grow in your grace, your knowledge, and your wisdom and understanding. And I pray, God, that you would fill each person hearing this word with your very presence, or reading this word with your presence in a powerful and mighty way. I thank you, God, for the directions you give us to live by. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that Christ and the Holy Spirit would teach us through the Word of God and be with us each and every day, each and every step that we take. We thank you, Father, for your very presence. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.